Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick, and we're back to talk matchups versus the Browns, this time on the offensive side. If you missed the defensive show, we had some good stuff on that, as always, with co-host Frazier Tafar. Frazier, how you doing?
Doing good, Ken. Glad to be back on for the offensive show. Defensive show was real good. Highlighted some key things like Ravens front seven versus the Browns power offense, and also the backups versus Browns starters.
Rare opportunity maybe to get after a rookie quarterback. He's actually a second-year guy, but he's struggling mightily. And if he even plays, he may not be the guy that the Browns trot out there. Jameis Winston won the game against the Ravens. Browns are highly motivated to lose this game, which is part of the reason why they went to Dorian Thompson-Robinson instead of just sticking with Winston, who I think clearly gives them better chances to win individual games now, but the Browns really want one of the top two draft picks, which I think is the biggest thing playing into the Ravens' hands. The problem is the Browns players do not have aligned motivations with the front office for starters.
Yep. And I guess we'll have an issue with that offensively because we want to get this game done as fast as possible. And with the weather being how it is, moving into my first point, I want to see the Ravens' run game consistency versus the Cleveland front seven show itself. The last week, we moved the line of scrimmage at will, also against the Steelers, who have a very formidable front. We were consistently pushing them, making holes, getting Derrick Henry downhill fast. And I want to continue to see that continuity with the offensive line continuing to gel throughout the year. I think, like we've wanted all of Lamar's career, we're pairing a best football going into the postseason, and we're going to be able to be on a roll. This game is going to be crucial in that we have to have the offensive line continue their performance and continue to make holes for whoever is going to be running the ball, whether Henry is going to take less of a load this week, going to see more Keaton Mitchell. If Hill's back, it really doesn't matter. We need the offensive line to be able to make holes for us in the front line.
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, I think the ability to maintain run-pass balance, and when I say that, maintain the run-pass balance that they want to dictate to the Browns. This isn't a game where you gotta pass the ball 50% of the time. You hope game script allows you to, you know, run the ball 60% of the time before you get to the point where you run the ball 100% of the time late in the game.
Yep.
Or maybe 50% and then 100% kind of thing. It's a game they want to get over quickly. I think both sides will be motivated to do so. I mean, Cleveland has some star talent, offense and defense, that they really don't want to have on the field. Myles Garrett, Denzel Ward are banged up each a little bit. Myles Garrett may play. There's no reason for him to play in terms of a Defensive Player of the Year award or anything like that. There's no game he could have in this final week that would elevate him to that category, none within reason anyway. So it's a matter of really both teams will probably want to get this game over with. I think we'll see a fourth quarter if it's a 17-point game, for example, at that point, where you'll see both teams running the football, taking most of the play clock, just trying to get the game over with. I think it'll be adults on both sidelines. And you've heard me talk about this many times on this show this year, is that they've had that for most of the year. They didn't have it in the Tampa Bay game with Todd Bowles. And Todd Bowles took a big chance, lost a key receiver. And now Tampa Bay, even though they appear in good position to win their division, is in a lot less of a position to make a playoff run because of what happened in that game. If I'm looking at any individual things, I think they'll spread the carries in this game with Mitchell and Hill/Ali, whoever is active, all getting some carries. Other than that, this is a kind of a litmus test for weather for Lamar in mm-hmm. this game, that he does not have a great record of playing in cold weather. But he also is a little bit untested in that regard. Joe Flacco was highly battle tested in cold weather. It's one of the great things that made him January Joe and made him a threat to the Patriots when the Ravens would go up there to play playoff games. It's really not the same with Lamar. We kind of have a feeling that ideal non-windy conditions are best. That's true for any quarterback, of course, in terms of their passer rating. But Lamar being from South Florida, there's an extra onus trying to really see him tested in cold weather and see if he can come through.
I feel like that in recent years has shown itself. I think he's done well in cold weather, especially during the playoff game. Frigid temperatures, he did well against Houston. And also the last game against Pittsburgh, and also in the Giants game, Jackson 5 against them, and it was frigid that day as well. So I think of late he's shown he's able to throw the ball in these very cold conditions. Like you said, I do want to see him against gusty winds, because if it comes down to it and we need to go to Buffalo, we need to see him be able to throw these balls and rip it through the wind. To your point about game script and really dictating when we want to pass and when we want to throw, moving on to my second point, I want to see Lamar Jackson's pre-snap reads and audibles versus the Browns defense. I think this being the last game of the season, I talked about this in the defensive show, this is going to be a tune-up game. Really, I want to see Lamar firing at all cylinders as a game manager, as a general, a field general. I want to see him get us in the best position at all times. I think there's not going to be too much pressure. Obviously, the division's on the line, but there's not going to be too much pressure for us to feel like if we make a mistake, we can't overcome it. I think he's going to take his risks pre-snap, put us in these certain situations that he feels is advantageous, and then let it be able to manifest itself and like give him the confidence that, okay, if I change these plays, they will work. So when we get there in the playoffs, he's already got the experience locked in and loaded. Not like he's not been doing that all year, but yeah. I really want to see it come to fruition this game.
Yeah, I mean, this is a lesser opponent, but it's maybe some worse conditions. So I think it's a matter of largely conditions. You know, the game in the Meadowlands that we went to together, Frazier, that was a cold game, and you talked a little bit about that. But it wasn't anything like the kind of cold you can get in Buffalo in January, or Kansas City for that matter. I mean, it could be 30 degrees or 35 degrees in Kansas City. It can also be 12 degrees. You know, in Buffalo, it could be zero and snowing, or it could be a mild 22 and snowing a lot harder. you got different levels of really lousy. The other thing about Buffalo is just not protected from wind at all. Yes. So you have the wind comes in right off the lake there, and you get blasted by it. So they've made the decision to stay outside in that stadium. It's just, we talked about that on the other show a little bit. It's an interesting one, but I think they're making the right one for competitive purposes. So I'll move on to my second point. By the way, I thought your other things about the pre-snap decision making, it's kind of important every week, and it's a huge area that where Lamar has grown. I always want to see it continue at any level, but Lamar moving around, making those pre-snap reads, communicating them to his people has been terrific. And part of that I don't think we credit enough is getting the line of scrimmage quickly. They've obviously got an easier set of calls in the huddle that is more formation only, as opposed to the long string of stuff you can get out of the huddle that gives you the exact play call and exactly what they want every player to do. It's more like it's a formation and he's calling it at the line of scrimmage from kind of a simplified script of plays. So it's one of the really great things about Monken, and they still had some fairly complex blocking scheme. We saw this last week in order, you know, wham blocking, crunch blocking, trap blocking, yep. That sort of thing that we don't see every week. The Ravens really don't have that complicated a blocking scheme, but they did this last week against the Texans to really force their way on a smallish defensive team. So I thought it was good to see. And I think the schematic things we've seen from Monken have been tremendous this year.
And also, I think it was going to try and help the team overcome the 4-day week, really trying to give them the advantage in terms of scheme.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. It's hard to do those walkthroughs for any kind of specific blocking to do yep. that on the shorter week, but they did a good job of installing that. And you know, you saw right off the bat, as Henry's dominating on that first drive, they've got all kinds of tricks we haven't seen before, or we haven't seen often right. anyway.
We've seen sprinkles of them in each single game. Like the wham block is what we saw in the Bills game sure. that popped Henry open.
Yep.
So yeah, we've seen them sprinkled throughout the year, but they put it all together in one game. So it was cool. Cool to see.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a really good example. And it only takes one play like that for it to be incredibly effective, but
exactly. Yeah. And one thing I do want to mention, I think that's something that we will see in the future in terms of Tom Monken's play calling. We're going to start compiling all the plays that have reap positive benefit and just put them in the game plan and just see what happens. I get it. We have all the data, obviously, but we can bring it down to the most effective plays and just install it for the week.
Where is your level of concern if Monken leaves this offseason? I think there's two possibilities for Monken leaving. Number one is Monken could go to some incredible high-playing gig to be the the offensive coordinator. He could return to college as a head coach somewhere where he's also calling offensive plays. That's a possibility. Or number three, and I think actually the least likely, is he goes to another NFL team as the head coach, because he's not a dynasty pick from that perspective. He's not a guy you're lucky to have be your head coach for the next 10 years.
Not
he's
Ben Johnson.
Say again?
Not a guy like Ben Johnson from the Lions.
Right. No, he's not like that at all. He's an older guy. The right situation might be bridging the guy who you really want to be head coach for the 3 years you think it'll still be, or the 2 years it'll still be until he's ready. So you might have that situation occurring with some sharp defensive coordinator who gets kind of like the DaCosta Ozzie deal behind the scenes.
Right.
They're telling we're going to transition to you or 2 years. Todd's here. He'll hopefully transform our offense. But let me get to the Ravens part of this question. So assuming Monken goes somewhere, what's your level of concern about the Ravens maintaining the institutional knowledge of what he's built? Because he did a great job maintaining the institutional knowledge from the Roman years.
I think my level of concern is very low because we've had a quote unquote two verification system for when it comes to Lamar getting the play. You have
at Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Monken from up top, and then we have T. Martin from below, and then he's relaying it to Lamar. So it's not like all this knowledge is coming right from, obviously, Monken's the one calling the plays, but there's multiple people in the system that are going to be able to absorb his play style calls or his play calling style and also the philosophy. I think the plays don't go anywhere. Football is football. I mean, you only can draw up things so much. I think the philosophy is what's going to stay in the evolution of Lamar Jackson. I don't want to see that, because something that I've always had arguments with Kansas City fans is the reason why Patrick Mahomes is so successful is because Andy Reid is their head coach and he's the offensive coordinator. I mean, if you have the same system for 7, 6, 8 years, you are bound to master it and figure out every little way to manipulate the defense based on what you know about the offense. So Lamar has only had Monken for 2 years and he's had 2 MVP seasons. I think it will be a shame if we move on from him after this year. I don't know, because he's not going to stay here forever, obviously, but I think T. Martin's going to be the next guy in line for the offensive coordinator position, because I feel like that's what the Ravens would do just to keep the continuity of the style and the philosophy.
They do have a lot of continuity on offense that they don't have on defense. And this offseason, I think, is going to be a big one for rebuilding the succession plan for the Ravens going forward. Who are the next, you know, coordinators in waiting? Who's the guy they really think is the future head coach out of what's going on? Could be a positional coach, you know, that they're bringing in now. It might be Zach Gore. It could be. I really don't know. I think he still needs more testing in terms of going through and having a start to finish solid year. Hopefully with solid coordinators, but they have a big coaching rebuild to do on this team, and they've done a great job in terms of figuring out in a methodical way what was wrong with this defense and fixing it. As defense now is somewhere between the second and sixth best defense in the entire National Football League right now. They're number two if you believe in most current weighted DeVoe, or most current last six games, and looking at those five playoff teams they played and the Giants, and looking at how well they played. They're number four in weighted DVOA. Sorry, let me be clear about this. And they're number six for the entire season in DVOA, even with all that crap that happened early on in the year. So they're somewhere between the second and sixth best defensive team in the National Football League. You can win the Super Bowl with that defense. Okay. And right now.
Yeah, I expect that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know about you. I'm like looking at this and crossing my fingers that, you know, things don't go wrong the same way that I did in 23. But it's not a matter of this team isn't talented enough. This team is way more than talented enough. They're the most talented team in the National Football League right now. The question is, what's going to go wrong to make this not happen? All right, I'll go on to my second point here. Which is take care of the football. So you got the pre-snap adjustments. I think they're going to have to do a lot of read option. And when you don't have as many options in the passing game, that may be the case with wind this Saturday. It's supposed to be right around freezing, about 16 mile per hour wind here. And I expect the deep game to be limited. That means they've got to lean on all the misdirection components they've got in the offense. So motion, pulls, the read option itself. The read option, absolutely critical. The pulls have to be clean in a game like this because the impact of fumbles is magnified. So you can't really have a bad opponent let them back into the game because you've got more variance in terms of your own risk for fumbling the football built into that. So one of the risks in that is if you're not going to play Derrick Henry the whole game, then you probably have some risk on pulls. Now, it is what it is. You know, hopefully Keaton Mitchell – for example, can adapt. Justice Hill hasn't always been clean with Justice and Lamar, so it is a risk. I think if I'm going to other things I want to see in terms of taking care of the football, I want them to see them not take unnecessary field goal distance risk in this game. That's a good way to give up a lot of field position. I'd rather see them go for it on 4th and 6, 4th and 7, 4th and 8 at the 35-yard line than try some long field goals on a windy day. And that consideration would be for any field goal kicker, not just for Tucker and what's happened this season. It's really for anyone. And then I think the other thing is take appropriate risk in plus territory. I think when you're in minus territory, the onus is probably on the Ravens to not create high variance plays that are going to increase the chance for the Browns to win this game with one or two die rolls. If you want to talk about it that way, you want to force the Browns to you know, manage the line of scrimmage and win the game that way. And normally, you know, I look at risk and I'm much more aggressive than the typical NFL head coach. This is a game where I'd still be more aggressive than the typical NFL head coach, but I wouldn't be as aggressive as I normally would propose to be. So fourth and one from their own 16, this is not a game to try that against the Cleveland Browns. The Cleveland Browns will find a way to mess it up from midfield if you just punt it through them. But on the other hand, you know, fourth and three at the 30-yard line, I don't want to see Justin Tucker coming out for a field goal. I want to see them try and get that first down on the ground or however they need to get it.
Yeah, kind of like how we played against Miami the second to last game last year. I think we took some risks on the plus side that we usually didn't take, and it paid off, like with the Isaiah Likely touchdown. It was like 30, 40 yards. So I do want to see them take care of the football. No fumbles, no interceptions. We've proved that if we can take care of business, you can add no penalties into that conversation as well.
Yeah, good one.
Yep. I mean, if we can do all those things and make the Cleveland Browns beat us the long way, I mean, it's going to be a long day. I think we should take care of business in any game with any team that faces us. The only team that's beat us this year is the Ravens, and that's it.
Yeah, completely agree. This has been, if you look at the five losses they've had, really the only team who could really, who is clearly on the field with them, the only two teams were the Eagles and the Chiefs.
Yep.
And the Chiefs, you got to give them the proper credit for being ready to play that game in the first week of the year. But the Eagles actually dominated both sides of the line of scrimmage. And that was not a good game for the Ravens. And it's a matchup I really hope the Ravens would avoid if they make it to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it would. Well, I wouldn't say I hope they avoid that. I would love to get the second chance of them. I think this team is very motivated to see them because we had our opportunities. It wasn't like, I mean, we were driving the ball downfield. We had chances to score, but a couple of missed field goals here and there. So I think in every single game this year, we've been in it. I don't think we've gotten really blown out. So I think to your point, the Chiefs is like the monkey on our back. I think Lamar has gotten past the Steelers thing, which to me is BS, but he's gotten past that, and now it's really just trying to get through the postseason, get back to the AFC Championship game, and more than likely we're going to be seeing Kansas City in that time.
Right. They've got every one of these needs to be considered the barrier that it is. They might have to play the Steelers again in the first round. Even if they don't, they might have to play the Chargers, who could give them trouble. And they're going to need to really get down to business and do it. Then they've got a titanic potential test in going to Buffalo.
Yes.
They might luck out and play at home. Buffalo might get upset in the first round, but probably not happening, which means they're going into the worst possible environment to play a game. And then they go to Kansas City, which is loud and, you know, also a bad weather place with the potential for high wind and the wind belt of the United States that, you know, all of this it does not seem really well set up for Jackson. But the reason we're talking about it this way is that the expectation is there. This is one of the best teams the Ravens have ever had. This is according to Aaron Schatz, and please listen to that podcast. It was out earlier this week. This Ravens team is only one place behind the 2023 Ravens for the greatest team in the DVOA era. Last year's team was fifth. This year's team is sixth in terms of, and it's incredible that they've duplicated that. Just incredible. It's very hard to duplicate at the top in terms of DVOA period. But to be fifth and sixth, it's never happened before. No team has ever had two consecutive years anywhere near this good in the history of that metric. So we are rightfully, I think, placed to be concerned about what happens as opposed to be afraid of some particular opponent.
Yep. And I'm going to use John Harbaugh's phrase, good. You know, this is the kind of adversity we want to see. I think when we think back to the 2012 Super Bowl run, I mean, we had to go through Peyton Manning in Denver. That was a frigid game. Yep. And then we had to go up to Foxborough against Tom Brady. I mean, for us to get to the Super Bowl, it was almost impossible. So, I mean, it's getting me riled up just thinking about it. I really want us to shock the world like we did those past couple years, I think. Mm-hmm. People have wrote us off, especially after the slow start. And I think we just need to come out on the scene and start punching people in the mouth, show them who we really are.
2000 was, by the way, the same thing. They went to Tennessee as a 6-point dog. They went to Oakland as a 6-point dog. And they beat two very highly thought of teams. And
they were 1-2.
I'm sorry, say again. They were yes, the Titans were 1 and the Oakland was 2. Yep. And so Oakland was just thrilled that we beat the Titans and they get to play the game at home. And then they were careful. They learned to be careful about what they wish for.
Yeah, Rich Gannon. Ask him about Siragusa. Rest in peace.
Yeah, there you go. All right, my friend. Always a pleasure doing this show with you. This is the last show of the year for the regular season, but we will be around during the playoffs. But Frazier, tell folks where they can talk football with you online.
Yep. You guys can reach me at Twitter/X at F_Rave8. That's F_RAVE8.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening. As always, hit me up with an idea for a film study short. We may have a chance to do one at some point during the playoffs, one per week kind of thing. Love to hear from you. And if you want to participate in the Fire John Harbaugh thing, I'm having trouble finding Fire John Harbaugh people. Now, it may be that the nature of this pod is scaring people away, but I want to hear from you if you really believe Harbaugh ought to be replaced, because we need some people to take kind of the other side of that sort of a panel discussion in terms of what would make sense there. But hit me up. DMs are always open on Twitter. Love to hear from you. For Frazier Tavares, this is Ken McCusick saying goodbye. We'll talk to you next time on Matchups.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close.
Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
Bombas makes the most comfortable socks, underwear, and T-shirts.
Warning, Bombas are so absurdly comfortable you may throw out all your other clothes.
Sorry, do we legally have to say that?
No, this is just how I talk, and I really love my Bombas.
They do feel that good, and they do good, too. One item purchased equals one item donated.
To feel good and do good, go to bombas.com/addlarge and use code ADDLARGE for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com/addlarge and use code ADDLARGE at checkout.